In Chippewa County alone, there are 5,200 acres of land slated to be mined for silica sand, otherwise known as frac sand. That's 5,200 acres that will eventually be scraped free of topsoil in order to get at the sandstone deposits holding precious minerals below. So what happens to that land 20, 30, or even 50 years down the road? According to state law, it must be reclaimed, or filled in other words. And while the state has rules and regulations that take into account things like runoff and groundwater contamination, they don't get very deep into what it takes to rebuild a healthy topsoil. But now there's a list, a first-of-its-kind study in Wisconsin happening this year in Chippewa County to do just that. It's a collaborative effort between Chippewa County, UW River Falls, and the UW system, and the frac sand mining industry. The goal? Learn the best ways to rebuild topsoil to the best possible quality in order to make it as productive as possible, whether for crops, forests, land, or prairie. We talk about it this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this frigid Monday morning. I'm joined in studio by Dan Masterpole. He's Chippewa County's conservationist and the director of the Land Conservation and Forest Management Office in Chippewa Falls. Thanks for joining us to talk about this, Dan.
Thanks a lot for the invitation, Rich.
Good to have you. And joining us by phone from her office in River Falls, I'd like to welcome Holly Dolliver. She's an associate professor of geology and soil science with the Plant and Earth Science Department at UW River Falls. Thanks for being with us, Holly.
Good morning, Rich. Thank you.
Good morning. And listeners, we'd love to take your calls and questions on this subject today. Do you have concerns about what will be left over once frac sand mines are depleted, once the companies have moved on? Give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Excuse me. So, Dan, as I mentioned in the intro here, there are 5,200 acres permitted for mining. Where is the county at as far as the process of, you know, mining and reclamation?
Well, thanks, Rich. Chippewa County is one of the earlier counties to move into the industrial sand mining phase. Statewide, we're systematically going through kind of a prospecting phase, a planning and permitting phase, and in some places we're into the production and reclamation phase of things. And because Chippewa County and the surrounding counties in west central Wisconsin, including Barron and Eau Claire, were early spots for the prospecting, we're far enough into it now where we're beginning to do the full production and reclamation work.
And in the project proposal, you know, before we get in too deep into what the study is actually about, there was a mention of 585 acres that have already been reclaimed. Is that industrial sand mines, or are we talking gravel pits and aggregate stuff?
There's been a longstanding industry in western Wisconsin, the aggregate industry. These are sand and gravel pits that have historically been used to produce aggregate that's used to create concrete and asphalt as needed for our infrastructure. And in about 1990, the state adopted a law that required that all non-metallic mines be reclaimed as part of their ongoing operations. So there are many aggregate mines throughout the state from a very well-established industry, the sand and gravel aggregate industry. Those 580 acres were mined for that purpose. It's only within the last 5 years that we've had the advent of industrial sand mining in this part of the state. And that has spiked the number of acres that are now permitted for mining. But we have about 73 sand and gravel operations under permit that are required to reclaim their sites. And we have about 10 industrial sand mines that are just starting to get going.
All right. And as far as the state regulations are concerned, reclamation, what does it look like? I mean, what are some of the... I know it's a long list of things, and it's kind of complicated legalese when you look at the actual state you know, code of NR-135, but in plain English, what does it mean?
What it means, Rich, is reclamation needs to be integrated into the mining operation from the very beginning. That's why they call it the non-metallic mine reclamation law. So at the very beginning of the process, when a company decides to mine a property, they need to apply for a reclamation permit. And as part of that process, they need to meet minimum state standards. But most importantly, they need to declare what that post-mining land use will be and then work to establish an operation and a mine process that in the end will achieve that post-mining land use. So some of their very earliest steps are to inventory the soil that's on the site and plan on how they're going to retain and stockpile that soil after the site is stripped, and how to systematically, through the course of their mining operations, reclaim the site as they mine it. So a key point is that reclamation isn't something that happens at the end of a mine. It's something that happens in stages through the course of the mining. And that is done by the mine operators as they determine the architecture of their mine, how they're going to approach the deposit and systematically mine the deposit in cells and try to reclaim those cells as they finish taking the target deposit out.
And we're talking about things like, as they're reclaiming, it's different with each mine, but there's certain standards for how much grade there has to be, like 3-to-1 or something I keep hearing about, right?
There are standards that have to be met during the mining operation in preparation for reclamation. One of the standards is that the topsoil itself has to be stripped and stockpiled for future use. The mining operation and reclamation needs to be conducted in a way that doesn't pollute the surface water or groundwater. You cannot reduce the quantity of surface water or groundwater through the course of reclamation. And slopes have to be stable. That's where that 3-to-1 comes in. But there's a lot of latitude provided to the companies in determining exactly how the site is going to be reclaimed to support a productive end land use.
Well, we've already got our first call of the morning here, and let's go to Jim in Eau Claire. Jim, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling in. What's your question?
Well, my question is, it seems like a lot of local municipalities will pass laws that are written pretty much by the mining industry and don't take into account a lot for air quality. I'm wondering about why these cities or towns don't adopt, you know, EPA standards for air quality when it comes to these, because my understanding is that there are some schools that are well outside of what the EPA suggests for air quality because they're too close to mines that are throwing a lot of very, very small dust into the air, the kind of dust that you can't get out of your lungs.
Sure. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Again, listeners, we're talking about the study that's happening in Chippewa County aimed at finding or learning and establishing science in terms of reclaiming frac sand sites and how to rebuild the soil after they're done. Jim's got a question about the town's local governments and air standards, for example. Dan, you can speak to this because Chippewa County has dealt with this before, but why don't local governments enforce things like EPA air standards for silica dust?
Thanks, Jim. The non-metallic mine industry is subject to all federal and state laws and standards. At the local level, as a result of this state reclamation requirement, all counties and municipalities have to administer the reclamation law. But outside of that, it's really a question of how local units of government are using their village powers and zoning authorities to address those other potential environmental impacts. In Chippewa County, we have a number of towns that have adopted a licensing ordinance that are trying to get at the air emissions issues. But with regard to the states and the county's authority for reclamation, air emissions is really outside of that statewide safety net. And the air emission rules that are in place are those that are in place through the DNR. And the question of air emissions is being debated as to whether or not those state standards are adequate or not. And a number of municipalities are exploring options under their own authority to address those issues. But with regard to reclamation, we do try to work on dust management issues with the companies as they have stockpiles of reserves at their mines. And that ties back into how they're using water and managing those stockpiles.
All right. Thanks again, Jim. The number for anyone else to call in with questions or comments, 800-228-5615. We're talking about a study in Chippewa County that is looking into the best possible way to rebuild soil and return it to a productive use after it's been disturbed by frac sand mining. We're going to take a first break here in just a bit, but Dan Masterpole, if you would, we'll get into the meat of it right after our first break. But what is the very basic goal of this study, and what is how will it look, I guess?
Well, we're at a unique point in time, Rich, where we've got to decide collectively just what the quality of that reclamation is going to be. So the true purpose of this study is to serve as a catalyst to begin the process of contemporaneous reclamation, to begin reclaiming as we go, because we're now at a point where we're far enough into some of these mines where we can at least begin to explore some of these reclamation techniques. But its principal purpose is to bring in best available science. And in so doing, we wanted to reach out to the universities. There are going to be a number of different universities throughout the state, I'm sure, working on these issues over time. But in this particular case, we reached out to UW River Falls and the Department of Plant and Soil Science.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's take our first break. We'll get into the meat of that. We'll introduce more, or we'll hear from Dr. Holly Dolliver at UW River Falls about what makes soil healthy and what needs to be done to rebuild it after an industrial process like that. This is the West Side, and we're talking this hour about a one-of-a-kind frac sand mine reclamation study happening in Chippewa County. We'll talk more about it after a quick break. It's Pledge Week here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and now we'll hear from John Gatto, John Munson, and Dean Kallenbeck about why your support is so vital to us. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking this hour about a study looking into what it will take to make topsoil healthy and productive again after being disturbed by the industrial process known as frac sand mining. I'm joined this hour by UW River Falls Professor of Geology and Soil Science, Holly Dolliver, and Chippewa County Conservationist, Dan Masterpole. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-228-5615. We've got a few couple callers on the line. We're going to work through them in just a bit. But we've talked a little bit about what reclamation is as defined by the state, and we've just started to just scratch the surface of the study that's going to be happening in Chippewa County. And Holly Dolliver, let's talk about soil health. And very basically, what are the kinds of things that make soil healthy? We see at the surface level, we see some grass, you know, some vegetation. What is there beyond that?
Well, that's a great question, Rich. What's interesting is that soil health is actually a relatively new concept, at least in terms of a formal definition or a formal initiative, and it really represents a new way of thinking about soils. And from a soil's health perspective, we're really focusing on the soil's ability to meet its range of ecosystem functions that are appropriate to its environment. And we really want to focus on understanding the condition of the soil and its ability to, for instance, grow certain crops or grasses or trees or to infiltrate water or to purify water or to support a specific microbiological communities. So there's actually a lot of different aspects that go into understanding soil health. So it's not a very simple concept to really even put out a definition for or understand. And it basically represents the integration of the biological characteristics, the chemical characteristics, the physical characteristics of the soil, and the hydrological characteristics of the soil.
You know, I'm just finding it kind of ironic that this is kind of a new field, but yet it's pretty vital to human existence, isn't it, soil health?
It's absolutely vital, and I think it really comes from the culmination of, you know, the better part of 100 years of high-quality research in soil science, and we're better able to now understand how, when we think about soils, we can't just focus on the physical characteristics of the soil or the chemical or the biological characteristics in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new part or the new umbrella is thinking about them from an integrated perspective. And that's what makes soil health and soil health research unique now.
So what happens to the soil? I mean, I know we haven't started the study, actually gotten in there into the dirt yet, but what happens to soil, at least in theory, when it's scraped off and set aside for reclamation?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to be evaluating is what is the condition in the soil prior to mining, what is the condition in the soil during stockpiling, and then what is the condition of the soil post-reclamation or post-mining. And I think we know from previous research, and we've been doing metal mining in this part of the country for quite some time, and we know there's some physical disruption to the soil when we scrape it off and we stockpile it. There's a network of pores within the soil. There's aggregates or clumps of soil that form that are naturally very good for allowing roots to penetrate. Those things take hundreds, if not thousands, of years to develop over time. And when we physically disrupt that soil, that is going to change. And then on top of it, we're taking topsoil that's spread out over acres, and we're piling it into smaller areas, so we have compaction from the weight of materials. So there's surely some physical disruptions that take place.
Mm-hmm.
These could impact water movement. Probably a big thing that we've seen in soil stockpiling is the breakdown of organic matter. And specifically, we'll start to add oxygen into the soil, and that will oxidize some of that carbon. And there's been some studies in places like Canada that have shown maybe up to a 30% loss of carbon in the soil. So there's truly some cycling of nutrients and biological processes and physical characteristics that are changing during stockpiling.
I want to get into the benchmarking here and a little bit more and kind of how the study is going to take shape as far as the plots and soil additives and whatnot. But first, we've got a caller that's been on for a while. Dave and Augusta, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Hey, thank you, Rich. And let everybody know that donating to WPR is a great thing.
Oh, I'll do my best. Thanks so much.
You bet. I got a question. There's been a history of effects and mine companies that have, there's been a history of them not reclaiming the soil, and when they're done with their process after maybe 10, 15, 20-year job site performance of them just leaving, not finishing what they're supposed to as far as clean up and putting the land back to a native state. What is the penalty for that type of behavior for a company like that? Now, they required to put money down in a certain fund, make sure that they do that when they get done mining.
Sure.
And my quick second question. I just came up with this while I was listening to your guest. If there's that much of a disturbance in the topsoil when it's stockpiled, shouldn't that be something that a deeper look at that before we allow any more frac sand mining?
Great questions.
An example, using it for crops or for water runoff. And I'll take your answers off the air. Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it. The number 800-228-5615. The first of the two-part question, definitely going to Dan Masterpool. Is there a fund set aside as part of the reclamation process in case something goes wrong and the company just can't finish?
Yes, there is. But before going into that, I just wanted to note that Dave's provided a couple just excellent questions. To my knowledge, we don't have a history of the frac sand industry itself not reclaiming because it's relatively new. Some of the longer term companies that have been in place, for example, Badger Mining down in Taylor, has about a 20-year track record. And in those particular cases, and there's only a handful of those companies, most, if not all, have instituted very well-developed reclamation programs. So we do have a baseline of understanding from those studies and the work that they've done. A lot of the sand and gravel operations, though, back 20 years ago, were given the opportunity to either renew their permits or not with the advent of this new reclamation law. So those are the sites probably that are the ones that are most troubling that may not have been reclaimed that you still see in the landscape. But going to Dave's question, yes, as a condition of the permits, the companies are required to place bonds that are maintained and kept up. And the value of those bonds, which are financial assurance, equal the amount it would cost if they were to leave the state and walk away and the county were to need to reclaim the site. And those bonds range, depending on the site characteristics, from hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars, depending on the amount of land that they have open and subject to reclamation.
All right, and the second part of that question, definitely a Holly Dolliver question. Why isn't there studying done of the land, maybe an environmental impact study done beforehand, or is there?
Well, I think, you know, in the study we're going to collect some of that benchmark data. I think that what's unique about the frac sand areas that we're mining right now is that the soils are different. They're relatively thin. They're upland soils. They're developed on top of bedrock, and a lot of the studies that I maybe cited earlier are studies that are in a completely different landscape. So the inherent soil health of our upland areas is probably going to be quite different than what we're able to find for data in the literature, and that's going to be something that we're going to be evaluating in our study.
Very exciting. New science happening. So test plots, I mean, we're going to benchmark the study or the soil, see what it looks like, and see how it works. How are you going to study what works as far as reclamation? I mean, how do you test healthy soil to find out what is healthy or what is not?
Well, that's a great question. I think I'll go back to the benchmarking one first. I think the benchmarking is a really important aspect of this study because we really need to have a holistic understanding of the soil health, the inherent soil health of these soils prior to mining. And that's really critical because it's hard to evaluate a reclamation plan without having a benchmark to be able to evaluate it against. So we're actually going to be spending the better part of this entire summer just doing a really high-quality job establishing those benchmark conditions. And then we'll be taking that benchmark data and collecting the exact same data when we finally do the reclamation piece of it as well. And we have a wide variety of measurements that we're going to be taking. We'll be focusing on all three tenets of soil health. So from a physical standpoint, we'll be looking at the texture of the soil, the different types of layers or horizons that are present, and their depth. We'll be looking at the density of the soil, how compact or not compact is that soil. The chemical component will be influential or important as well. We'll be looking at the nutrients that are contained, the amount of carbon, the amount of nitrogen, the amount of phosphorus, the ability of the soils to retain nutrients. And then an exciting part of this research is we'll be looking at the biological health of the soil as well, and we have some very sophisticated equipment that we'll be trying out to take measurements of how much respiration or what is the activity of the microorganisms that are within that soil.
Microorganisms, I mean, we're really getting down to the base stuff here. And we're going to be doing test plots. So test plots with some of the soil from the stockpiles, and then you're going to kind of see if you need to add amendments or something like that?
Yeah, so we've designed this study to be able to scientifically evaluate reclamation. So in our initial test cells that we're going to be developing, we're going to be looking at Two different ways that we're going to be putting soil and material back down on the ground. We have our overburden that we'll be laying down first, and then in one situation we'll be using some fine material from the mine along with the subsoil and the topsoil, so we'll be able to evaluate the addition of that material and how that might influence that soil. And then from the top-down perspective, we'll have within our test cells, we'll be evaluating sort of a high management and low management scenario in terms of nutrient management, where we'll be looking at applying organic manures or amendments, lime, various things that could get that soil up to optimal growing conditions.
Very good. We're talking about the science of land reclamation and a unique study taking shape in Chippewa County that aims to find the best way to rebuild soil post-frac sand mining. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by Dan Masterpole and Holly Dolliver. We'll round out the discussion right after a short break and a message about what your pledge to WPR means to us and what it helps us accomplish. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side this hour on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about what happens to the land after a frac sand company is finished with its mining. Specifically, we're talking about a land reclamation and a first-of-its-kind study that looks to establish a new set of best practices aimed at rebuilding the soil, making it healthy and productive once again. I'm joined by County Conservationist for Chippewa County, Dan Masterpole, and UW River Falls Geology and Soils Science Professor Holly Dolliver. Very quickly, we are getting short on time, but I'm wondering, I'll start with Dan, and maybe Holly can chime in on this. What is really achievable when we talk about this reclaiming the land after it's been through an industrial process, especially in this neighborhood where they're looking for sand is the soil is pretty thin above it?
Yeah, thanks, Rich. That question about what's achievable is a very important part of the study and part of the part that Dr. Dolliver will be working on. For the benefit of your resident or your listeners, if you were to think in terms of how shallow or deep the soil was, if you were to grab your elbow and extend your hand, that's the depth of the soil in these wooded sites. It's only 30 inches or so deep. Hmm. And the topsoil itself only extends from the middle of your palm to your tip of your fingers. So we have challenges on what can be achieved by way of reclamation. Our objective, of course, is to determine what can grow there, how to stabilize the sites, and then through Dr. Dolliver's work, determine not only the limits of the soil, but what its potential is through reclamation.
Holly Dolliver, anything to add to that?
You know, the one thing that I would add is that although the soils are thin, you know, soils are still quite amazing, and the structure and what they can support in some environments is really quite incredible. I mean, you can go out to some extreme environments, and with a small amount of soil, you can support a very diverse assemblage of vegetation and a diverse microbiological community as well. So I think, you know, we'll, as Dan said, be evaluating what it is that we can support.
And this study, how long does it last, Dan Masterpole? We're starting this year.
Okay. Yes, we're starting this year. We went through the project design with Dr. Dolliver this past fall. The study set up for a five-year period where the county's done a contract commitment to River Falls. And we've lined up two companies to start with, those being Superior Silica Sands and Mathey Construction. And we'll be inviting other companies that have an interest in sponsoring test plots over the next 5 years to do so. Our hope is that this is just the beginning of what could be a longer-term program whereby companies sponsor these reclamation test plots at their mine sites as a way of tracking their progress towards reclaiming land.
You've got the two companies. I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, how many would you like? How many different mine sites would you like to be able to test on?
We're planning to have five by the end of our five-year period, and those would be representative mine sites, and we're hoping through the course of the study that there'll be a new network set up whereby the results can be shared with the public and with other interested parties, including the mining companies themselves. because this communication of experiences is very important as we come out of the blocks here.
And if for some reason you're only able to keep have the two mining companies, would that be enough to get the results you need?
I think it would be to get started. And again, this is a question that many people will be having to ponder throughout Wisconsin over the course of the next 20 years. So we're encouraged and excited that we have willing participants with the mining companies and anticipate that top-tier companies throughout the state, either through this venue or others, will be doing this kind of work.
And Holly Dolliver, there's a lot of going to be a lot of kind of new science coming out of this with regards to this specific application. Will it be able to be used by other counties or other schools? I mean, throughout the state, maybe beyond?
Yes, absolutely. We expect that we'll be able to disseminate our results pretty widely. Surely they'll be very pertinent to the local communities, but I think within the greater scientific community and soil science as a discipline, our results will provide some very important information for others to use and to build upon.
All right. And finally, I mean, this is a public process. How do, you know, our listeners get involved, or can they? Dan Masterpole.
Well, the public has played a very, very important role through the course of the last 5 years as the through the advent of the new industry. And it's important for the public to continue to be engaged by providing suggestions and following the results of this work. Each county in the state has a local land conservation committee, and these land conservation committees have a statutory obligation to work on issues related to soil and water conservation. So I think that if the public could stay engaged through their local officials and attend public hearings and inquire and pose questions and set expectations, it'll be to the general benefit of all of us.
And stay engaged, they will. I mean, the folks have been really instrumental in all kinds of things, keeping an eye on this industry. And I understand that through the project proposal, there will be a project stakeholders group. What is that going to be? The county, the school? What's that all about?
We've formed a stakeholders group of representatives of the participating mining companies, the university, and any interested citizens that would like to stay engaged. And the purpose of that is once a year get together to share results and disseminate those results.
All right. And if I'm a concerned citizen or a curious citizen, where do I look to find the results, you know, as they come along? I mean, is there going to be a website or something, Dan?
Yes, the University of Wisconsin River Falls will be posting things on their website, and we'll have a posting on our Chippewa County website as well.
All right. Well, very good. I appreciate the discussion from both of you. That is our time. I'd like to thank my guests, Dan Masterpole. He's the Chippewa County Conservationist and Director of the County Land Conservation and Forest Management Department in Chippewa Falls. And Holly Dolliver is an Associate Professor of Geology and Soil Science at UW River Falls. Thank you both very, very much for the discussion. And to my guests, or to my listeners, thank you so much for the calls and the questions. I'm sorry that we couldn't get more of your calls on the air, but we were pinched for time this hour, as always happens towards the end of the program anyway. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Without your support, none of this would be possible. So next week, we're going to be talking about homelessness in the region. We're going to be talking with folks from West Cap and some local homeless agencies. The numbers are actually staying pretty stable. They're not increasing anymore, but there is still not much room at local homeless shelters. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again next Monday morning.